was so crazy when I saw your name. I was like, what? Because I, like, maybe a year ago, found a film journal from when I was in high school, and I had your dad's, like, first business card. Like,
really?
Like, oh,
was
I
it blue?
I think
and,
so.
And, like, kind of, like, stone-looking?
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure, yeah.
Like, and, marbly? I totally remember what that looked like.
Totally, yeah. Green.
My name is Dawn Borchardt, and you are listening to Faux Reel, a podcast where I interview filmmakers. I got introduced to the film world as a kid while my dad, Mark Borchardt, was shooting films and then discovered film festivals when the documentary American Movie came out and I got to travel with them. Since then, I've been working for film festivals across the country for the last several years. I love watching films and I love hearing about what motivates filmmakers. On this first episode, we have the producers of Horse Girl, which is out now on Netflix. I interviewed them before their world premiere at the Sundance Film Festival.
I'm Elena Carruthers.
And I'm Mel Eslin, and we're the producers of Jeff Baena's film
Horse Girl,
starring Alison Brie, on Netflix February 7th. Well, so Horse Girl stars Alison Brie as a craft store employee who's a bit socially isolated, loves horses, and for her birthday gets a DNA test, and it spirals her on this path of questioning her mental health, and maybe she's being abducted by aliens, and it all kind of spreads out into a spider web of different theories from there.
Was this, I know that Jeff and Alison kind of worked on it together.
Yeah, I mean, it was like really a collaboration between the two of them, you know, kind of coming together with certain elements that they both wanted to tell in one story and sort of realizing, oh, wow, like we can put these together, you know, into what eventually became Horse Girl.
Yeah, it was like a Horse Girl story and like a time travel abduction story, and then they married them.
Can you talk about the improvisation process, like what information the actors and the crew were given ahead of time,
yeah,
and what that process, like shot by shot, even looked like?
So, you know, Jeff and Alison collaborated and co-wrote a treatment that was, you know, around 30 pages, so really the bones of the story and the bones of each scene were really there, but it was kind of more about letting the actors find the words, you know, within the scene. I think that's something Jeff talks about a lot, mm-hmm, is, you know, he wants it to feel really real. Like, how would you say this? If you were in the situation, what would you say? Instead of, you know, and try really letting them, like, live in that. So that was sort of, you know, going into it, the setup of it. And, you know, we are, you know, used to working in, like, the improvisation as well.
Yeah.
Other films and, you know,
Duplass
Brothers.
Elena and I both work for Duplass Brothers. So I'm the president of Duplass Brothers. Elena's one of our execs. And so we are, like, ingrained with years of really random, crazy forms of how, mm-hmm, to make movies. And every improv movie is so different. I feel like, though, Jeff,
I like that.
Yeah, it's cool. Like, you know, we've done it so many different ways, but I actually feel like Jeff tapped into a way that is very similar to the way, mm-hmm, like Mark and Jay have tended to work when they do improv stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, binding the scene a little bit, and like once you hit on what it is,
yeah,
you move forward with that a,
yes,
little bit, and it becomes, you know, it's not uncharted territory every time, you know, you do a different take, you,
mm-hmm,
know, you sort of,
yeah,
find it, and then you're sort of moving forward with that, getting the coverage, you know, maybe finding some more surprising moments. But
I don't even know if Jeff would call it improv,
yeah,
per se. It's like a weird hybrid, because what happens is we get a scriptment. So we do, I think this one was like 40 or 60 pages,
yeah,
somewhere in there, and we break it down where it is like very detailed paragraphs of what is happening, the emotional arcs, and any major emotional beats that need to happen within the space of that scene are written in that paragraph. And even down to, like, and you're probably going to talk about this, and you're probably going to say this to get there, you know, that kind of thing. But it almost reads like you're reading a book. And then what Jeff and Alison would do is, like, these mini workshops before every scene would roll where they would talk to the actors. You know, like Elena was saying, they'd be like, put this into your own words. They'd run through it. The first two takes are usually the, like, find it takes. And then once they got it, you stay with it. And so then it's really, like, that's your script. So it's, like, coming to on the day with, you know, ready to improv, and then the minute you find it, that's your script and you stick with it.
Yeah. And I think, too, it was, like, so incredible because Alison was so tapped into the story and, you know, had been living with it with Jeff, too, for so long. So, you know, her from being within the scene, that was, like, another element of,
yeah,
being able to really, you know, tap into like what their vision was and what they wanted, you know, to get across in each scene.
Yeah, and it wasn't, I mean, we do so much improv where you are really letting people go and you have two cameras and you're just roaming.
Yeah.
And this was not that. This was very dialed into specific shots. I mean, and when you see the movie too, like there are specific things where we are like, this shot needs to transition into like, it's
right.
gonna morph into something else or whatever. So everything was very dialed in that regard. Yeah. You know, and I think Jeff and I have talked about it a lot, where our souls really needed this experience. Like, it was very, I think a lot of people felt
yeah.
that, where...
And I don't know, I think that's something that you can really feel on set, and that creates, like, a great environment to be creative in.
Yeah.
Oh,
you
yeah.
feel safe, you feel, you know, like, you can really be vulnerable and take chances. You know, and it just, it's amazing when you can kind of, like, make that setting happen.
Yeah.
Because it's like, lightning striking. Like, it's
oh,
hard
yeah. it's...
almost to, like, try to recreate it, but when it does,
mm-hmm.
it's like,
yeah.
We've struck gold, you know.
I read
yeah.
this great quote that maybe you were even the one who wrote it.
Yeah.
It was from the Duplass Brothers company, and it was like, we have two rules.
Oh, yeah, that was
not
me.
Be with an asshole.
Number one's, yeah, don't... And actually,
don't
I think,
asshole.
Yeah, I usually actually have three, which is like, one, are you right for the project? Two, are you right for the director? And three, are you an asshole? And the correct answers always have to be like, yes, yes, and no.
Yes.
That's it, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I love that.
So that is... I mean, I feel like that's why we all at Duplass actually came together, because we
yeah.
all have very similar philosophies of, like, let's stay out of the system and also not be assholes and find different
mm-hmm.
ways
yeah.
to
well,
do
it's
it.
Just, it's difficult to get this stuff done. Like, it's
yeah.
hard to make any, you know,
yeah.
film, TV, whatever it is. So it's like, why make it harder
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
than it has to be, like, you
yeah.
know.
One of the funniest things I think I've ever seen on set, which I have to be a little bit delicate to describe because it is a sex scene, and also a little bit of a spoiler if you don't mind me just giving you one little nugget. But
yeah, when are you putting this
yeah,
out?
It really, like, this... yeah. I mean, this doesn't ruin the movie. It's like, it literally just gives away one shot, you know, which is, there is a shot where, in part of a dream sequence, and Allison starts having sex with somebody, and then they become somebody else. And we decided on the day, we're like, let's do this real time in camera. So we have Allison on the bed, we have, and you know, nobody's like fully nude, it was a very like closed set, everybody's very comfortable, but then, you know, part of what you do sometimes in those moments is you're like, let's make this funny, so we're all like loose and we got this. So we've got Allison, we've got John Reynolds, this amazing actor, who is doing his sex scene with Allison, and then right behind him is another actor, Matthew Gray Gubler, who's just holding John while he rocks, standing behind him, waiting for his cue, which was like a tap on the shoulder to be like, swap out. And so then John slowly slides to the corner of the bed, hugs the wall, picks up like a Sudoku or whatever, and starts like keeping himself busy while Goobler slides in, and then him and Allison are doing their thing, full to completion of the sex stuff, and John's just sitting there on the bed while it rocks, reading.
That's amazing.
And it was hilarious. I mean, oh my god, it's to that, to this day I'm like, I will never see anything else like this. Yeah, and it, you know, you just don't get that on the screen when you watch that scene. It's so good.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, when I get to
so
watch
now
it,
that you
no,
watch
I
it
will.
Yeah, now you'll know the, like, behind the scenes of what that looked like. Yeah,
it's a man and his pencil and his little
yeah.
book. Just don't mind me.
Oh my god, I think there's even like a behind the scenes video that, you know, Allison was like, Jeff, you gotta get this. And so there's this, like, video where he's, like, on Allison and Goobler, and then he just pans over and it's just John with the pencil on the bed.
I really like that he brought something to do and then just scoot over.
At some point he was just like, anybody got, like, a crossword puzzle? Like, he's like, I mean, I'm just here for a while. Oh my god, it was amazing.
I was ask now about, like, if you guys have any personal things that came up for you while making this film, whether it was during the filmmaking process or beforehand, that you're just like, I can relate to this in a personal way from my childhood, or like some sort of life experience that really like made this extra special for you in a personal way.
Well, are you a horse girl?
yeah, I guess since you can say maybe I'm a horse girl. I rode horses when I was younger.
So you're a horse girl.
I grew up riding horses, so I guess I'm a horse girl. So yeah, I think that was like a really kind of like interesting exploration, you know, a little bit of, you know, someone who that was like really important in their life, and you know, now that they're, you know, no longer doing that, like where they're in their life and their connection still to that. So I think for me that was kind of like an interesting, you know, parallel maybe a little bit between, you know, myself and Allison's character. Because yeah, you definitely, you know, it's something you love and you're passionate about, and you know, for whatever circumstances, if, you know, when you get older and you're no longer, you know, riding horses, but kind of thinking about that time as like, you know, looking back on it so fondly, and you know, how it kind of connects to your life presently. So yeah, I guess for me that was like one of the bigger ties to the movie.
I mean, I've ridden a horse like maybe twice. So yeah, I'm like, they're awesome, yeah. But I don't, you know, it's the movie. You know, we have a character who is, you know, it is a potential that she's living with mental illness. You know, the film doesn't really land with a clear answer as to what is happening. But as I grew up with a mother who lives with mental illness and was suicidal my whole life, and so that, you know, there's a bit of that in this film, with our lead character and also with her mother character, and also because the lead character's name had the same name as my sister, Sarah. So there was just a couple moments when I would be like, ooh, this is hitting something that is a little too close to home, mm-hmm. and, you know, I could emotionally very quickly tap into that part of it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was definitely something I actually felt like I hadn't really dealt with yet in my career as a filmmaker, really. So it was a good, like, you know, evolving with the art, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I like that in film. Obviously, you know, the purpose is to be sharing stories and connect with a greater audience. But even at, like, any cast crew, if they can find something that they're like, this is part of me,
yeah,
it makes it just extra special and meaningful. And
oh, absolutely.
You can help tell a story better when you have something to relate to in that.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's passion and connection to the material we're telling and the art we're making, and also everybody's, you know, relationships to each other, all of that behind the camera absolutely translates. And I feel like anybody who says it doesn't is crazy, because it really is.
Important.
Like, you can watch a movie and be like, the craft service was bad. Like, nobody's having fun here, you know? Like,
they're hangry.
Yeah, exactly. They're
this
hangry.
Is a real thing.
Yeah. And they did not follow the three rules. Somebody was an asshole. Like, yeah. I don't know. It's, I get it. And even, you know, I've heard from multiple actors who are in our film who, since seeing it, are like, everything you guys created on set, they're like, it's up there. And they're like, I can feel it, and I can feel that warmth. And, you know, and they're like, I can see, like, this, you know, what you guys, Mel and Elena, as producers, the space you created for Jeff, they're like, I feel that. Like, you know,
yeah,
it was really
so
cool.
Important.
Yeah. But, you know, as I have evolved as a producer, it's now just become about, like, the bigger picture of keep everything going, keep everybody happy, and watch that creative, like, and just be there for, like, you know, what I usually try to do is, you know, I think the easiest way to say what is a producer in a broader scope is you're, like, first on, last off,
yeah,
and
mm-hmm.
never off, to be honest. Like,
yeah, I think,
yeah,
like, ultimately, like, your job is to keep, if, like, you think of the film as, like, a ship, like, you're trying to keep the ship from sinking, the ship from, like, falling over, and the ship from, like, staying on course to, like,
yeah,
get to where the destination is. Like,
yeah, and throw a party on the boat so everybody's having a
right.
lot of fun.
And, like, that can mean, like,
yeah,
you know, 12, it can mean, like, a bunch of different things.
Yeah.
Every film, I think, is different, especially, like, based on, you know, the director's needs and, like, the support they need and the support of the crew. And it's kind of, like, you have to have everyone's best interests in mind and
yeah.
balance that with, like, making sure, like, you know, like Mel's saying, you know, the creative is where it needs to be, and kind of giving everybody support, you know, while also putting fires out.
Yeah, I mean, it really is, like, what I always try and do is really get to know the director, if it's a new director, and kind of be like, download what's in your brain to us, you know, like, tell us everything, so that in those moments, you know, when you are faced with, like, too many choices, or you're under the gun, or every director has that moment where they're like, they've hit their limit and they can't make that decision, mm-hmm. you are that person who can, like, step in right away and be like, I know this is what you want, or this feels in line with what, you know, the vision you have been giving me, you mm-hmm. know, as far as where we're heading.
And just being, like, a second set of eyes.
Yeah.
Where, like, I'm really stuck between these two things, you know, what are your thoughts?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Being a sounding board, you know. Being an unofficial therapist.
Oh my god.
That's what I thought of when you were first talking about it.
100, yeah. We are therapists. I still, like, I am a therapist to directors I've worked with in the past on their new films because mm-hmm. they're like, I just need to talk to you still. And, like,
yeah.
you know, it is, it really, yeah, you're there. You're like the mother. And, like, I don't know, it's like you kind of birth the thing with everybody.
Yeah, it definitely mm-hmm. can
yeah.
feel like that, for sure.
Yeah, I know. And it's, and it never leaves you. I mean, you are, like,
you're with it for a really
forever.
Long time. I know we talk about that a lot, you know, when you're looking at new projects. It's like, is this something that you want to be talking about, thinking about, working on for, like, the next 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
yeah.
something that you're really wanting, you're passionate enough to sit with that long. Because, you know, when all is said and done, like, you're still dealing with it. Long after kind of everyone
yeah.
else
mm-hmm.
is on a more, like, intimate level.
Yeah. I think that a lot of producers, I think, don't talk about it as well, which is something I had to learn a little bit the hard way, is a lot of people come up on their own, and they are working on their own, and they're producing alone. And so, and you become everything. You know, like, I made movies where I was the producer, the AD, the full production staff, and crafty,
mm-hmm.
and, like, you just wear yourself thin. And you have to kind of do it sometimes just to, like, get something out there.
Yeah.
yeah, you know, like, Mark and I made this great film called The One I Love, where I was all those roles and more, and I, like, gave 2 years of my life to that thing, and it was all I could do because I had nobody else, and it was my baby, and I'm in a loving relationship with that movie to this day. I love it, but I also, it almost killed me, and then I went and I made another one where I was the only producer, and it almost killed me again, and I, like, almost hit a breaking point. And I think the big lesson I had to learn was you don't have to do it alone, and producing partners are the most beautiful, best thing that could ever happen. And I think, like, now I get to work with people like Elena, who, you know, are not only, like, we're all part of the same company, but, you know, we get to be collaborators and support systems. And what's cool then is you're like, cool, you take that, I'll take this, you know. It's, are we yeah. talking too much?
Yeah, just
no.
put us up at any time or redirect us if you're like, quit talking about
no.
producing.
We don't have too much more time, but honestly,
okay.
I went through everything. Like, basically, unless there's another story that you guys, we haven't covered and you
yeah.
want to share.
For the film?
I mean, I think something that was, like, really fun was shooting Purgatory, which is like a TV show
within the
film
uh-huh.
that we actually, like, that Jeff created and shot. That was just, like, so much fun. It was, like, that was, like, the only thing that was scripted within the film. You know, Jeff actually wrote out, like, lines.
Yeah, it's
that.
A procedural,
yeah.
which none of us really do.
None of us have really had that much experience.
We were like, oh, if we were making, I don't know, what are some examples, like, Bones meets, like,
mm-hmm.
with, like, supernatural
criminal lines, I guess.
Yeah,
I've heard,
like,
I've never seen
supernatural elements
yeah.
in it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we had Matthew Gray Gubler, Robin Tunney, Aaron Stanford came in, you know, for that, and they just, like, were awesome. You know, they, a lot of their careers have been, you know, on kind of procedurals in, like, a similar vein, so I think it was, like, fun for them too to come in and, you know, do this.
Yeah, we're like, let's fuck around and make a fake
yeah.
show.
I was just gonna
and,
say, it's
yeah.
way less pressure.
Oh my god,
like, this
it was,
is a fun shoot.
Yeah, and we were like in a fake morgue, and you know,
yeah, it was a super cool set.
Yeah,
it was just, like, fun. It was like not like a reset, but it was just like a shift, you know, from shooting the rest of the movie that was
yeah.
just like we popped out, did that for a day,
mm-hmm.
and then kind of, you know, went back into the group of shooting the rest of the
yeah.
film.
And now Jeff is obsessed with making that into a real show. He's like, so guys, you want to produce a procedural? And I'm like, let's talk more about it. He's like,
let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's
so
do
if anybody,
it.
So
if anyone's looking to.
Yeah, we'll see, I guess. We'll see what the response is after the premiere.
That's just what actually everyone focuses on. They're like, but that TV show.
Yeah. I think it was cool for, like, the DP and, you know, Catherine. They were like, shooting in a totally different way. Like, the visual
yeah.
language was completely different than, like, the rest of the film.
Well, I'm excited for you to see the movie because it is
yeah.
there is such a different.
Me too.
Yeah, I know. It'll be great. I hope you like it. No, but there's, like, we do a lot of, like, there are different spaces. There is, like, and I want to say too much, but it's like there's, like, real world stuff, potentially dream world stuff. There's just some interesting weaving of things that we did, and, you know, like, again, this isn't giving anything away, but we would do things like, you know what, we want her to exit the shower and suddenly be somewhere else in the world. And so we would bring, we'd be like, cool, let's shoot this shower scene and then let's take the door with us and go place it somewhere else.
We had two fantastic production designers, Ashley Fenton, Megan Fenton, their sisters. They were amazing. And
they're twins, but I
twins,
just found
oh my
out
gosh, right.
they're not identical.
Really?
Yeah, but they look so
they do.
Like, yeah.
But yeah, they're badasses and just like really created this, you know, such a big part of creating the world.
Yeah.
Well, this has been great.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was so cool to meet you too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You too.
Wait, so do we
know?
What is a producer? Yeah, it's true.
FoReal is produced and edited by Tybalt, Prince of Cats, with tech support from Brandon Taiyi, Keith Madden, Don Rixey, and Miles Marsico. Special thanks to Jen Wilson. This episode of FoReal was for real, recorded in the back room of a cat casino.